Thank you. Motivation for this talk is very simple. It looks to me that natural electroweak symmetry breaking ship is slowly sailing away, and Susie here does not seem to care. And the same goes for pretty much any other beauty that we constructed over past few decades to solve the hierarchy problem. And it makes me think that maybe there is simply no new physics that takes care of the hierarchy, and simply electroweak scale is what it is for maybe no good reason. Nevertheless, even ignoring the hierarchy problem, standard model is for me not satisfactory, and perhaps there are simple extensions of the standard model that can give me some more understanding compared to what I have in the standard model. And one such extension is standard model with three complete vector-like families that I'm going to discuss in this talk. It's complete vector-like families, just the same family as you have in the standard model. Add three more, add vector-like partners to those three, and if they happen to be have masses somewhere between 1 and 100 TeV, you can get very nice features like gauge coupling unification in a way that electroweak scale values of gauge couplings are insensitive to any parameter, highly insensitive to any parameter that you have in your theory. It has some other feature, proton lifetime is satisfied even without Susie and things like that. And for example, Higgs Quarti coupling remains positive all the way to the gut scale, so electroweak minimum is stable. So how does it work? Well, first of all, if you add three complete vector-like families, all beta functions are positive, which means that all gauge couplings are asymptotically divergent. Going the other way, if you start with some large gauge coupling, still perturbative, but somewhat large, at some large scale, if you go to lower energies, everything seems to, everything tends to run to infrared fixed point, which is trivial in this case. Far away from the gut scale, the ratios of gauge couplings are fixed just by the particle content of the theory. There are no parameters that come in. The ratios of gauge couplings are fixed by beta functions, again, just the particle content of the theory. So far away from the gut scale, you have two parameter-free predictions that you can choose to be, for example, sine square theta w, which in this case is, happens to be 0.193, and alpha 3 evaluated at the scale where fine structure constant has the observed value, and that would be about 0.07. Now, these are not perfect matches to what we observe, right? Nevertheless, it's not that bad, and actually it's quite good considering that there is no parameter that goes into these predictions, right? These are completely parameter-free predictions as far as you are far away from the gut scale. And since there are these vector-like fermions, these deviations measured values of gauge couplings from these nice infrared fixed point predictions can be completely explained from threshold effects when you integrate out those vector-like fermions, right? So 0.07 for alpha strong is not a good prediction at the electroweak scale, but it's a perfect prediction at 10 TeV. So it tells you that there is a threshold at 10 TeV where you integrate out a bunch of particles out, and from that scale, everything runs according to beta functions of the standard model, and you get alpha strong, what you need, what and the reason why everything at the electroweak scale is highly insensitive to what you put to your theory is because most of the values of gauge couplings at the electroweak scale are obtained from these infrared fixed point predictions. Just a little bit you obtain from these threshold effects, okay? So, no, I have just 10 minutes. Okay. I will answer your question later. So there are only two relevant parameters, the gut scale and mass of vector-like families. I just stick all the three generations at exactly the same scale. So there is just one parameter associated with that. And then since the value of alpha gut does not really matter as far as it's somewhat large, this plot is given for alpha gut being 0.3, but if it's 0.4, 0.2, or 0.5, the plot would be basically identical. So there are just two relevant parameters, and you can calculate prediction for all three gauge couplings at the electroweak scale. And to read this plot, it's kind of complicated. It's kind of three contour plots overlaid. So along this line, you get the correct value of alpha 2. The shaded range would be 10% range for alpha 2. The same thing for alpha 1, measured value 10% range, and the same thing for alpha 3, right? When there is quite large region where all three gauge couplings are simultaneously predicted within about 10%. These are log scales, both. So if there is a region, it means there is a sizable region, right? And the best fit actually happens to be somewhere at about gut scales, a little bit above 10 to 16 GeV, and vector like mass is close to 10 TeV. And that gives you gauge couplings, all three gauge couplings within 6% from measured values. But that's not the. The nicest feature of this is when you look at the region in which, from which you predict the gauge couplings within 50%, let's say. Okay, that would be everything below this line. This is when alpha QCD would be 50% off. And everything below this line gives you all three gauge couplings simultaneously within 50% from what we observe. So alpha gut can be randomly generated number at gut scale. Gut scale itself can be pretty much randomly generated number. It doesn't matter if it's 10 to 14, 15, 16, string scale, Planck scale, doesn't matter. Randomly generate a gut scale. As far as there are three vector-like families below few tenths of TeV, no matter what you do, you can randomly generate your numbers. No matter what you do, the predicted values of all three gauge couplings will be within 50% from what we measure, right? So, and that's that I find, because if there are all these possible universes in multiverse, and as far as particle content is fixed, the gauge couplings will be fairly close to what we have them in our universe. Of course, if you want to get, if 6% is not good enough, you want to have exact predictions for gauge couplings, you have to split these vector-like multiplets, you have to split them over two or three orders of magnitude, so they have to have vector-like masses from a few hundred GeV to a couple hundred TeV, and then you can get exact values of gauge couplings at the electroweak scale. As promised, Higgs quartic coupling remains positive all the way to the gut scale. In the standard model, it turns negative somewhere here. In this scenario, it remains positive. There is a simple reason for that. If you want to know why, ask me. Not now, later. There is completely different set of things working for fermion masses. For example, Topiokawa coupling in the standard model or MSSM, it starts somewhere here and it gets somewhere here. In this scenario, the gut scale value of Topiokawa is 0.04 or 0.045, so it gets 20 factor of 20 enhancement just from RG evolution. And vector-like families are used for basically any anomaly that we ever had. Muon G-2 anomalies in Z-pole observables, Higgs to gamma-gamma recently, everybody knows that story. So this scenario with three complete vector-like families can be pretty much UV embedding to all of these possible explanations. And it also tells you that adding vector-like families to the standard model is really just a simple extension of the standard model. And I'm not going to talk about, I will briefly talk about Muon G-2, which is recent work of my student, Aditya Raval. So everybody knows there is this anomaly in Muon G-2, about 3.4 sigma. And if you happen to have one lepton vector-like doublet and one lepton vector-like singlet close to the electroweak scale, they can mix with light families. For the purpose of muon G-2, the only thing that you need is to generate coupling mixing between muon and heavy vector-like heavy mass eigenstates coming from these vector-like pairs. So you have two charged leptons and one neutral lepton or one heavy neutrino, and you have exactly the same diagrams that you have in the standard model for generating muon G-2, just that instead of muon here in the loop and muon neutrino in the loop, you can have these extra heavy leptons. Naively, you get a mass enhancement coming from the fermion being in the loop, so that's good. But on the other hand, these couplings are also suppressed by mass of the heavy lepton. So there is a cancellation between suppression that comes into couplings and this mass enhancement. Nevertheless, altogether, when you put things all things together, you can get contributions that are comparable to electroweak contributions in the standard model, which is exactly what you need to explain the anomaly. And there is one more interesting thing that actually the anomaly, the contribution to muon G-2 is highly correlated with the contribution to muon mass itself. When you integrate out these vector-like leptons, you generate this higher dimensional operator that was discussed yesterday in David's talk, examples of that. And yeah, when Higgs gets a VEF, muon gets a contribution to its mass from this high dimensional operator. So there are two sources from regular coupling of muon to Higgs, and the second one that I call MLE from this higher dimensional operator from mixing with vector-like families. And you can write the contribution to muon G minus 2 in terms of this contribution to the muon mass coming from mixing with heavy families, and there is some other one coefficient in front of that. That happens to be fully correlated with the mass of that heavy neutrino, which comes from mass of the doublet, vector-like mass of the doublet. And then you can randomly generate these Yukawa couplings and these vector-like masses and plot everything in a plane of contribution to muon G minus 2, which is on this axis, and contribution to muon mass, which is the ratio of the muon mass generated from mixing and physical muon mass. So if it's 1, everything comes from the mixing. Muon mass comes from mixing. If it's 0, everything comes from this direct Yukawa coupling of muon to the Higgs. And you see that all points arrange themselves according to that mass of vector-like doublet. Again, it's important that it's mass of the neutrino that comes from this vector-like doublet. So the lightest one, then heavier, heavier, and heavier. And the measured deviation in muon G minus 2 is here. This is central value, 1 sigma, 2 sigma. So you see that there are basically two solutions. One with small ML, which is actually quite interesting, because at the same time, you are generating the correct value of muon G minus 2 and the muon mass. So from one operator, you have fully explain muon G minus 2 and fully explain muon mass as well. In this asymptotic scenario when the neutrino is very heavy, you also can explain muon G minus 2. The contribution to muon mass is actually opposite compared to what you would want. So you need twice as large contribution from direct Yukawa coupling to get the correct muon mass. And because you are modifying couplings of muon to the Higgs, Higgs to mu mu is modified in the region which can explain muon G minus 2 within 1 sigma. Higgs to mu mu is enhanced by close to order of magnitude, by factor of 6 to 9. It's actually close to current bound. Current atlas limit is factor of 10 from the standard model. So improving on Higgs to mu mu can pretty much fully kill this possibility. And of course, then you can have contributions to Higgs to gamma gamma if you switch on other couplings that are not relevant to muon G minus 2. And of course, the size of the contributions to everything is limited by the size, by how large Yukawa coupling you allow in your model. In those results that I showed you, the upper limit was set to be 0.5 for extra Yukawa coupling. And it's set in that way because in that case, you have still this nice feature that Higgs quartic coupling remains positive all the way to the gut scale. Nevertheless, if you want, you can just take all the Yukawa couplings larger and generate larger contribution to muon G minus 2, Higgs to mu mu, and Higgs to gamma gamma if you like. And I'm done. Yeah, I'm sorry, I did not answer your question right
now. No, but my question was answered later, saying that if you're decoupling all the family as a single scale, you will never improve the situation because it's a complete...
Oh, then I answered your question.
So you answered my question during the talk. Okay. You have to split them widely. Yeah. Okay.
So you need splitting of two orders of magnitude, but even in the standard model, you have two orders of magnitude splitting just in third generation of fermions, so it's flavor mess. Who knows where it comes from?
So can I ask one question? So you show this example where you actually get the gauge couplings exactly right by splitting them accordingly. Yeah. And you had one of these new fermions that was light. Does that always happen? Because that would be kind of interesting, right?
Yes. So the scales of these things are given by scales where your gauge coupling cross RG evolution of gauge couplings in the standard model. It happens that SU2 crosses the latest. Crosses the last. So things charged under SU2 on average have to be lighter than the other things. So either quark doublets have to be light or lepton doublets have to be light. But there is a lot of freedom to arrange these things to get it. So there is a whole family of solutions to get.
Try quantifying, maybe there's an upper bound.
It depends. You see that gut scale is not really, you can adjust the gut scale. If you move gut scale to larger value, all these things, you have to just integrate vector-like families at higher scale. So nevertheless, from this plot, you see that the kind of optimal gut scale where you get, without any splitting, where you get close to all gauge couplings at the same time is somewhere here. If you go to higher gut scales, you need to increase splitting between these generations to still get gauge coupling unification or exact predictions for gauge couplings. So you can do it, but yeah, so you have to work harder.
Go on for a long time.
Then go.
So, okay.